Reading from the Jiva Dharma, chapter 14, Pramaya, Shakti Tattva. Om Jnanita Mirandasya, Jnananjana Shilakaya, Saksur and Mulatam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Tapitam Yena Bhutale, Sayam Rupa Kadamayam, Vadati Sapadantikam, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha, Vipashindu Bhayevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. I've come upstate today. Tomorrow is our Bhakti immersion. And by Krishna's grace, we've basically have filled up our spaces. We'll have about 60, 70 people there. And tomorrow, we filled up the spaces. That's pretty good. Now we're on the 14th chapter of Pramaya. Shakti Tattva. You know, we came a long way today, so I have to kind of focus. Okay, I'm just going to read on, just explain a little bit that. So we're in the part of Jiva Dharma now where a logician coming to Krishna consciousness named Vrajanath has actually become serious about Krishna consciousness, and he's inquiring from the guru. And the guru is explaining him Dasamula. Dasamula is the 10 basic truths of Krishna consciousness. I think originally compiled by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but it's somehow in this dialogue. And the 10 truths compose 3 subjects: Sambandhagyan, Abhidhayagyan, and Prayojanagyan. Sambandhagyan means, basically it means metaphysical knowledge, what is reality. Abhidhayagyan means the means of understanding reality, what is your practice. And Prayojanagyan, what is the result of doing so. So in Krishna consciousness, our metaphysics is that God exists with his energies. And he's expanded his energies for the purpose of pleasure. And the logic behind it is that this is how God wants to enjoy. We just have to find out how it is. There can't be a logic to it. There can't be a cause to it, which then the cause would be God. I gave that seminar. Can God be blue? And my answer was very simple. The seminar was somehow a little different. That if there was a reason why God was blue, it wouldn't be God, because there would be something that was dictating some kind of law above God that made God a particular way. So there can be no other reason than God's will. So we just have to discover God's will. We certainly can't deny by logic and reason that God can have energies. And from our observation in the world, we see that energies exist. And we see that potency exists. So there's really no reason from our own experience not to think that that exists in the absolute reality. So we're discussing it. They discussed pramana, the means of knowing, and now they're discussing pramaya. I believe pramaya is what is to be known. And pramaya is, pramana means evidence, and pramaya is what is to be understood by that. So they're philosophical terms. Pramaya is the object understood or the thing proven through pramana, or proof. What is proven? The thing that is proven. So what is to be known? How do you know it? What is to be known? That's another way. What is to be known? And that's discussed. What is to be known? It's God and God's energy. So now we're discussing Shakti Tattva. What is to be known? The various subjects of reality. And one subject of reality is Shakti Tattva. And we've been actually discussing that. That God does have Shakti. God does have Shakti. He does have energy. He's not undifferentiated one. God, and God has energies, and that's right there in the beginning of Vedanta Sutra. Chidmadyasya yataha. God is that from which everything else is coming. Om pranam idam purnam purnam purnat panachyate panasya purnat panasya. The Supreme Personality of God is perfect, complete, and from him so many things are coming. And that's not an illusion. So what is coming from God, that is his potency or Shakti. And the and that's been discussed. And the Sarup Shakti, the essence of all his energy is Radha, who is pleasure. The essence of all Shakti is to please its source, to serve its source. So this is all described and the evidence for it, and therefore that the nature of God is rasa vaisaha. Rasa means love, and love means there has to be Shakti. There has to be an object, there has to be something coming from an object, and there has to be a relationship between that. We come from God, and what is our relationship? Our relationship is love. It's prema. Prema is the attraction between two objects. So we discussed this, the different touches. So now he's going to clear different doubts, and we'll read through them. Why do the Tantrika Brahmins call Shiva's potency Durga? So I guess this question was relevant. Vrajanath is getting his doubts cleared. And often your doubts are based on the way the predominant intellectual, or at least what the intellectual authorities that influence you most, just like in modern science. The world accepts a lot of modern science. Um, So when people come to Krishna consciousness, if there are any doubts caused by that, common accepted knowledge, they have to be cleared. So Rajanath is in Navadvip, where people are worshiping the energy of God as supreme, separate from God, and there's so many misconceptions. He wants to get that cleared up. So why do some of the Brahmins, the Tantrika Brahmins, called Shiva's boat, Sri Durga? So Babaji will answer this. The deluding potency, Maya Shakti, is called Shiva Shakti. So Maya is also called Shiva Shakti. This Maya has three modes, namely Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. Brahmanas in the Sattvika mode worship Maya in a pure way, as the form that embodies Sattva Gyun. Brahmanas in the Rajasika mode worship Maya in the form that embodies Rajagun. And Brahmanas in the Tamasika mode worship Maya as the presiding deity of darkness, Tamagun, taking ignorance to be real knowledge. Well, I have to get further clarification on this myself, because generally Brahman means in the mode of goodness. But it appears from this that Brahmins are also influenced by particular modes. Somehow maybe they're predominating goodness, or they're influenced by particular modes, and therefore they come to particular conceptions. In fact, Maya Shakti is only a name for the transformation of Bhagavan's Parashakti in the form of a shadow, Chaya. It's not a separate and independent Shakti. Maya is the sole cause of the jiva's bondage and liberation. So what it's saying is somehow there's the Parashakti, the Sharup Shakti. We discussed that before, this main potency. And there's a transformation of that Shakti. Just like there's electricity and it transforms into heat, it transforms into cold. So the Parashakti, the Supreme Shakti, it transforms in various ways. And when, so what Maya Shakti means, it's just a name for the transformation, the shadow. For the shadow, and that particular Shakti, which is, it's the one Shakti, and it has a particular function. We already discussed this, that there's the Sarup Shakti, or the Parashakti. I know, a little confusing, but we can repeat it again. God has a main Shakti, and it has three main aspects, which is the Chit Shakti, the internal potency, the Maya Shakti, the external potency, and the Jiva, the marginal potency. So it's that one supreme Shakti somehow it transforms in various ways. When it's there's an infinitesimal particle of it, it's called the Jiva Shakti. When its shadow, whatever that means, I'm not sure what that means, but we'll take it what it means, for literal its shadow. But anyway, this shadow potency, this transformation of the Parashakti called Maya Shakti, is the sole cause of the Jiva's bondage and liberation. When the Jiva becomes opposed to Krishna, Maya punishes him by throwing him into worldly bondage. So somehow or other, the Jiva, where the living entity, this book is about the living entity, somehow or other, in independence, it doesn't want God. And then, when you don't want God, you don't want yourself, because what you are is part of God. And therefore, when you turn away from God, you turn away from yourself. And therefore, to facilitate not wanting to be who you are, then Krishna has a illusory potency. And that illusory potency, following your desire not to be a devotee, it throws the living entity into a worldly bondage of identification with a particular body, which has the false conception that I am not a servant of God, that I am not the anga, I am not the part, but I am the angi, I am the part, I am the center. That's the false conception. And that false conception is created by our desire. And Maya fulfills that desire. So Maya causes the liberation, and at the same time, when somehow or other being in the world and having your experiences and hearing from saints, then when your desire changes by becoming attracted to Radha and Krishna, when your desire changes by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and you want to be Krishna's servant, then the same energy that fulfilled your desire not to be a servant of God, that same energy then withdraws the illusion so that you can see that, in fact, you are a servant of God. So this Maya Shakti is the cause of bondage and the cause of liberation. However, when the jiva becomes favorable to Krishna, the same Maya manifests the sattvika quality and gives him knowledge of Krishna. She then liberates him from worldly bondage, makes him qualified to attain the love of Krishna. Consequently, the jiva is bound by the modes of Maya, cannot see the pure form of Maya, that is the Swarup Shakti of Bhagavan, and they worship Maya alone as the primeval Shakti. So the question is why do the Tantrika Brahmins call the Maya Shakti the potency Durga? And now the answer is being given. That these bound by Maya Shakti, they cannot really see that it's actually God's energy. Bound by that energy prevents one from seeing that energy as God's energy. And therefore, you can't understand it. You can't see the pure form of energy. When you're in the illusory, in the grips of the illusory energy, you can't see things connected with God. And therefore, you can't see that actually all this energy, even this energy that's putting your illusion, is connected to God. And what happens then, they worship the Maya Shakti alone as the primeval Shakti. They worship material energy. And their philosophy becomes to enjoy the world. And this is what people do, that when they worship Durga in the name of religion, they worship that energy to become separate from God, to become the enjoyer. And therefore, that's what they revere, that energy that can separate me from God, that energy that can facilitate me being the enjoyer and the controller. And they think that that is the supreme energy. The jiva in the state of illusion can only realize these advanced philosophical truths by good fortune and by the power of Sukriti. Otherwise, being bewildered by Maya and entangled in false conclusions, he remains bereft of real knowledge. It's such an interesting point. I think if I can repeat it kind of again, that there's one energy and it becomes transformed. And when you don't want God, then that energy of God transforms into the Maya Shakti, the illusory potency, so that your desire is satisfied not to see God. And therefore, because we're in relationship to God, we don't see ourselves. We explain this, that that energy is following the desire not to be a devotee. And as soon as you surrender to God and you want to be a devotee, then that energy subsides and you can actually see the truth. So basically what happens when we do have that consciousness, well, I want to be the enjoyer and I want to be the controller. When you do have that consciousness, that selfish consciousness, that egotism, the hunkar, when you do have that, then you can't understand these advanced philosophical truths. Or you can only understand them when you get the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Otherwise, you remain entangled in this false conclusion that the external energy is the all in all, and that you should enjoy, that your happiness will come from exploiting that energy, having that energy serve your desire to control and enjoy the world, and therefore you pray to that energy. And such people, they worship that energy as Durga. So that's the answer to the question. Vrajanath, in the Gokula Upanishads, Durga Devi has been counted among Sri Krishna's associates. Who is this Durga of Gokula? So now because he's in Bengal, and people have Durga Puja. And their goal is abject materialism. So he wants to know this tattva. So now he inquires further. Durga has also been considered Sri Hari's associate. Who is this Durga of Gokula? So Babaji Maharaj just answered that Durga is the external energy and people worship this external energy when they're opposed to God and therefore opposed to their true identity as his servants. He said, but no, wait, what is this? Is a Durga in Gokula? Who is this? So Babaji, this is, we're really learning tattva there. Now, for those who are actually serious students, I'm actually relishing this because I'm revising so many different concepts and ideas. And this is the real way to learn systematically the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Durga of Gokul is none other than Yogamaya. She is situated as the seed of transformation of Chit Shakti. So when she is present in the spiritual world, she considers herself to be non-different from the Sarup Shakti. The material Maya is only a transformation of that Yoga Maya. Durga is situated in the material world as an attendant maidservant of the Durga of the Sarup Shakti of the spiritual world. So it's just like the government has universities and they have prisons. But the people who run them are the same people. So Durga is the transformation. There is that one Shakti, that one energy. So it's when Durga is in the spiritual world, so she's non-different from the Sarup Shakti, the Parashakti, the supreme potency, God's potency. And material Maya, which is also called Durga, is just a transformation of that. Durga is situated in the material world, is an attendant maidservant of that Durga of the Sarup Shakti in the material world, the spiritual world. The Durga of the Sarup Shakti is Lila Poshana Shakti, the potency that nourishes Krishna's pastimes. So when that Durga is manifest in the spiritual world or has not yet been transformed to serve the illusion of the material world, of the living entities who are opposed to God, then she serves those entities that are for God in the spiritual world by a Lila Poshana Shakti to facilitate the loving exchanges, not to facilitate the selfishness, not to facilitate the forgetfulness of God, but to facilitate the remembrance of God. The gopis have taken complete shelter of that Parakya Bhav bestowed by Yogamaya, nourish Krishna's rasa vilas in the spiritual world. The purport of this statement, Yogamaya Upasthita Bhagavatam 10.29.1, about the Ras Lila, is that there are many such activities in Krishna's transcendental pastimes that appear like ignorance due to the Sarup Shakti, but factually they are not. In order to nourish the Maharas, Yogamaya stages activity that appear to be performed in ignorance. We will analyze this subject in detail later when we discuss rasa. So there are many things like Krishna dancing with the gopis and that appear like ignorance. From our perspective in the world, that's licentious. That's selfish. But they're not. To facilitate these leelas of Krishna's pastimes and his the love of the gopis and all these pastimes, then that same energy nourishes it. That same energy allows the devotees who want to love God intimately to see God as one of their own, to see God not in a different category, but in the same category where one can exchange with God. He said, we'll discuss this later. There is one thing that I wish to know concerning Dham Tattva. Kindly tell me, why do the Vaishnavas refer to Navadvipa as Sridham? So, Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhamarch, great Vaishnav, great devotional scholar, said there are three touches that are very, very difficult to understand. Guru Tattva, Dham Tattva, and Shiva Tattva, because they're all subjects where God interfaces with the material world. The Dham is very difficult to understand because we see all the crazy things that appear to happen there. Very difficult to understand. And Guru Tattva. Again, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhamard said that we should not be so much concerned with the externals of the Guru, but the inspired side. I take that to mean that Guru or Guru Tattva is more the Krishna's potency that appears to a person. Of course, one should be fixed in the absolute truth and there are certain standards of behavior. But the real thing to notice in terms of Guru is the energy of Balaram that manifests through that person to enlighten us in knowledge and attract us back to Godhead. And Dham Tattva, Dham Tattva Guru, and Shiva Tattva, because Shiva is Krishna and not Krishna. So let's hear about Dham Tattva. Babaji, Sri Navadvipa Dham and Sri Vrindavan Dham are non-different from each other, and Mayapur is the highest truth within Navadvipa Dham. The relationship of Sri Mayapur to Navadvipa is the same as the relationship of Sri Gokul to Braja. Mayapur is the Mahayoga pit, the great meeting place of Navadvipa. According to the Shloka Chanakalo of Srimad Bhagavatam, the plenary avatars of Bhagavad will appear in Kali Yuga, will appear the Chanakala of Srimad Bhagavatam, the plenary avatar of Bhagavan who appears in Kali Yuga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is covered, and similarly, his holy abodes are covered. In Kali Yuga, no other place is equal to Navadvipa, Sri Navadvipa. Only one who can realize the transcendental nature of this dhamma is actually qualified for Vajra-ras. You can't enter. Narottam Das Thakur says, one who enters into the Sankirtan pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and submerges himself in the Gaur Leela, he rises on the shore of Radha Krishna's pastimes. He's saying directly here, you can't realize, but only if you realize the nature of this, can you understand Krishna? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God trying to become his devotee, and he's trying to become the Brajavasi or Brajavasini, and that means cultivating a mood of relationship with Krishna. So only when we worship that form, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and meditate on that form, and serve that form, can we get Brajaras, because within that form is Brajaras. Krishna is the object of Vrindavan love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the subject or abode of that love. We want the abode of that love. We want to be the subjects of love. We want to be the lover of Krishna. So that mood, that Brajaras, that is the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you want to understand Krishna and understand love of Krishna, you have to go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From an external material point of view, both Brajadham and Navadvipam appears to be mundane. Only those with spiritual eyes have some good fortune and be open to see the Dhamma as it is. How fortunate are we that we've come to the holy Dhamma, either Mayapur or Vrindavan, or maybe Puri, that we've actually come there and had some kind of vision or understanding. It never ceases to amaze me how people appreciate Vrindavan. I know the Echo Village that Radhanath Swami is building. It's absolutely beautiful. They're finishing up the seven major temples, at least replicas of those temples. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. And it's all clean and organic, and it's just paradise. And I know people still, when they come to the original Vrindavan under guidance, even though it's not controlled, that somehow or other they understand, yes, this is the spiritual world. This is the best place in the world. This is the place that I want to be. They somehow understand that. And that's such mercy. Only who spiritual have some good fortune can actually see that. Vrajanath, I want to know the sarupa of this Navadvipa. Babaji, you know, this is like little technical stuff, but I'm so much relishing now learning and revising all this new subject that I'm actually dissatisfied just if there's one or two people on the other end. But there's more. But anybody who just wants to study with me, this is really, really relevant. It may not be for everyone. What's the Saru? Golok, Vrindavan, and Sweta Deep are the inner compartments of Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. Sri Krishna's Svakya Lok, Lila, that's married pastimes, take place in Golok. This Parakya Lila takes place in Vrindavan. And it's Parashishta, supplementary lila, takes place in Svetadi. In Tattva, there is no difference between these three dhams. Navadvipa is really Svetadi, so it is non-different from Vrindavan. The residents of Navadvipa are very fortunate, for they are associates of Sri Gaurangadeva. One can only attain residence of Navadvipa after performing many pious activities. Some rasa is not manifest in Vrindavan, but that very rasa is manifest in Navadvipa as the supplement of Vrindavan rasa. One experiences that rasa only when one becomes confident to relish it. So there's very special things. There's just such a flavor there. So Darya Dham, it's the land of magnanimity. So the form is different, but when you enter into that flavor of Gaur Bhakti, you enter into a very deep experience and taste of something that's at the essence of Vrindavan Bhakti. How large is Navadvipa? The area of Sri Navadvipa is 16 krosh. They shake like a lotus flower with eight petals, which are these eight islands: Samanta Dweep, Kodram Dweep, Madhya Dweep, Gola Dweep, Rutu Dweep, Jana Dweep, Modaduma Dweep, and Rudra Dweep. Anta Dweep, which is situated in the center of these islands, is like the world of the lotus flower. And Sri Mayapur is situated at the very heart of this Anta Dweep. One can quickly attain love of Krishna by performing sadhana bhajan and Navadweep dham, especially in Mayapur. Mahayoga Pit, the residence or mandir of Sri Jagannath Mishra, that's Lord Chaitanya's father, is situated in the center of Mayapur. And in this very yoga pit, the most fortunate of all jivas always take darshan. A Sri Gauranga's Nityalila. So we'll read on in this. If anybody would like to ask any questions, they may. Or just say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna, where are you now?
I'm celebrating my anniversary with my husband at the Red Bull Stadium in Newark.
At what stadium?
Red Bull. There's a New York Red Bull?
New York Red Bull.
Yeah, in Harrison, New Jersey.
I'm a soccer player. I'm a little familiar. Okay, well, happy anniversary, and thanks for listening to the thing, and congratulations to Joseph and yourself. How many years, Gail?
Joseph says, tell him how many years.
26.
Congratulations. 26.
No!
Yeah, did you get married when you were 13?
I was a child bride, yes.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Govardhan, we're going to learn this, all the tattvas now.
That's what I'm
really important. We're going to study, yes. Good. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go for now. Once you call the three, just start to pursue the deal, which you put.